And they're driven out of the garden. And there's a firmament covering. The cherubims guard the tree of life. What if that was also the access and connection to heaven? You better be very sure that when the millennium comes and the new heavens and new earth are created, but when the millennium comes, there's access. At Armageddon, the saints come right back. The trip's a lot longer, and there are interesting words in the book of Hebrews about Jesus after the resurrection, not having yet ascended. And the Hebrews letter talks of him going through the heavenlies, and the word is a strenuous battlefield-type exercise as he fought through the prince of the power of the air. I don't know where heaven is now, but it's not some woo-woo land. It's somewhere. I'm a realist. And what if heaven and earth were in closer proximity in that day? Where did Enoch go? Where did he go? He didn't die. He was not. But God took him. Enoch doesn't die. He has access to the tree of life. Where was he? I don't know. But this book says, chapter 12, before all these things, Enoch was concealed, nor did any one of the sons of men know where he was concealed, where he had been, and what had happened. He was wholly engaged with the holy ones. Holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy ones, H-O-L-Y. He was wholly engaged with the holy ones and with the watchers in his days. Our Lord is 10-9. I, Enoch, was blessing the great Lord and King of peace. And behold, the watchers call me Enoch the scribe. Then the Lord said to me, Enoch, scribe of righteousness, go tell the watchers of heaven. Wait a minute. Where was he? He was wholly engaged with the holy ones. What were they doing? Now, those who subscribe to the Atlantis theory believe that the founders of Egypt came from Atlantis instead of the usual theory that the Fertile Crescent, either Mesopotamia or Egypt, was the beginning of mankind's culture. Rather, this lost continent of Atlantis was the source, and from there went people to settle. The Incas, the Aztecs, Stonehenge, the followers of the sun, the builders of the pyramid. Mankind was centered around this paradise, barred from it, but clustered around it. Cain makes his trip when banished. Where was Enoch? He was wholly engaged with the holy ones. You know, the word is a work word. I mean, they weren't playing tennis. They weren't even playing harps. We're doing something. Wholly engaged with the holy ones. What if Enoch built the pyramid? And what if he had these watchers? Angelic helpers. That may explain 1/50th of an inch between 20-ton rocks with cement. Behold, the watchers call me Enoch the scribe. The prophet, he's called in the New Testament, preacher of righteousness, who is going to lay down a prophetic time capsule. The Lord said to me, Enoch, scribe of righteousness, go tell the watchers of heaven who have deserted the lofty sky and their holy everlasting station who have been polluted with women. In the second century, that somebody just tuned in thinks, my Lord, am I listening to a nut? The saints and fathers of the Catholic Church include Irenaeus. Irenaeus was appointed to the church by the Apostle John. Clement of Alexandria. Second century of Christianity, we find Irenaeus and Clement of Alexandria in the sayings and writings of the church fathers. Go check it out of any library. Citing the Book of Enoch without questioning its sacred character. Irenaeus assigned to the Book of Enoch an authenticity analogous to that of Mosaic literature. He affirms that Enoch, although a man, filled the office of God's messenger to the angels. Tertullian, that I've already told you, was a prime mover in canonizing, determining which books would be selected as the sacred canon of the New Testament, flourished at the close of the first and the beginning of the second century, led the revival among the Montanists, constantly cited by the Pentecostals as one of those links in the chain of the glossolalia and the gifts of the Spirit throughout the Dark Ages. Whilst admitting that the Scripture of Enoch is not received by some because it's not included in the Hebrew canon, speaks of the author as the most ancient prophet Enoch. Now remember, we're talking about an Old Testament book. Because not canonized by the Hebrew scholars, therefore not accepted in the Hebrew Old Testament portion of the sacred Christian canon. But Tertullian, who was responsible more than anyone else for determining which books of the New Testament were accepted, looked on this, which he says not accepted by some because it hadn't been canonized by the Hebrew scholars who predated Christianity, still says of the author, as a divinely inspired autograph of that immortal patriarch preserved by Noah in the ark, or miraculously reproduced by him through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Tertullian adds, as Enoch is spoken in the same scripture of the Lord, Origen. Church Father A.D. 254, quoting Hebrew literature, assigned to the Book of Enoch the same authority as to the Psalms. That's enough. Lost until 1773, translated 1821. The Lord said unto me, supposedly Enoch's writings, preserved through the ark by Noah. Scribe of righteousness, go tell the watchers of heaven. I repeat, are you saying, does God believe this ought to be in the canon? I haven't said. I'm satisfied with the book as it is. I can teach it adequately. But I'm telling you, the early church fathers thought it should be. And I read it as interesting supplement. Scribe of righteousness, go tell the watchers of heaven who have deserted the lofty sky and their everlasting station, who have been polluted with women and have done as the sons of men do by taking to themselves wives, and who have been greatly corrupted on the earth. Isn't that interesting? He goes on through several chapters. And you get over here. After a time, my son Methuselah took a wife for his son Lamech. You know who Methuselah was? Son of Enoch. And when he was born, God said, name him Methuselah, which means when he dies, the end comes. After a time, my son Methuselah took a wife for his son Lamech. We're pre-flood. Quit thinking the earth and heaven were always the same. She became pregnant by him, brought forth a child, the flesh of which was as white as snow, red as a rose, the hair of whose head was white like wool and long, and whose eyes were beautiful. Poor old Lamech, knowing that the sons of God, these watchers, had mated with women on earth, this son looked so strange. He thought, might be one of these offspring of one of these. He spoke. No, then Lamech, his father, was afraid of him. The kid scared him. Looks so different. And flying away, came to his own father, Methuselah. And he ran like a tiger. Said, I've begotten a son unlike to other children. He's not human, but resembling the offspring of the angels of heaven. He's of a different nature from ours. Doesn't look like me at all. I'm sure there's been a father or two in this world that's had similar kinds of fears. Thank God nobody can doubt my dad's my dad. I'm afraid lest something miraculous should take place on the earth in his days. Now remember this. How would you feel? Your Enoch's grandson. I mean, that creates fear on both sides. Every time Methuselah gets sick, his dad Enoch knows his name. Look, these names take on funny meanings to us, but when you introduce Methuselah in that day, you would say, here's Noah introducing him. Hey, friends, they're at a party somewhere in Atlantis. I'd like you to meet my son. Well, what's his name? When he dies, the world ends. Well, that ought to be a conversation subject at a party. Poor old Lamech, he must have had fights at the schoolyard every day as he's growing up. Teacher says, fill out the card, name a father. When my dad dies, the world ends. Get some flesh and blood on him. So when Lamech's kid dies, I mean, kid's born, he looks different. Everybody lives in a world end syndrome. I'm afraid. Now, my father, let me entreat and request you to go to our progenitor Enoch. What proof have you that after me Enoch was translated, nobody could reach him? I mean, these sons of God were reaching the earth. Let me entreat and request you to go to our progenitor Enoch and to learn from him the truth, for his residence is with the angels. Now, where did they live? Sure wasn't Beverly Hills. When Methuselah heard the words, what if he was there somewhere building the pyramid? Say, too many years, he's already dead and gone. No, he just was not, for God took him. Now, it doesn't even need a pre-flood kind of world. Because Moses and Elijah somehow made the trip to the Mount of Transfiguration in New Testament times, unless you believe that was a lie. Go find Enoch. His residence is with angels. Now, this is Enoch recording this, if this is true, and if Noah preserved it. When Methuselah heard the words of his son, he came to me, Enoch says, at the extremities of the earth. Where would that be? For he had been informed that I was there, and he cried out. I heard his voice, went to him, saying, behold, I'm here, my son, since thou art come to me. He answered and said, on account of a great event I've come to thee, and on account of a sight difficulty to be comprehended have I approached thee. Now, my father, hear me, for to my son Lamech a child has been born who resembles him not. Then I, Enoch, answered and said, the Lord will effect a new thing upon the earth. This have I explained and seen in a vision. I have shown thee that in the generations of Jared my father, those who were from heaven disregarded the word of the Lord. Behold, they committed crimes, laid aside their class, and intermingled with women. With them they also transgressed, married them, and begot children. A great destruction, therefore, shall come upon all the earth, a deluge. A great destruction shall take place in 1 year. This child, which is born to you, shall survive on the earth, and his three sons shall be saved with him. He shall call his name Noah, for he shall be to you a survivor. He and his children shall be saved from the corruption which shall take place in the world. Afterwards shall great impiety take place, greater than that which I had been before consummated on the earth. I mean, after the flood, it's going to be worse. For I'm acquainted with holy mysteries, which the Lord himself has discovered and explained to me, which I have read in the tablets of heaven. In them I saw it written, that generation after generation shall transgress until... I left something here. Now, what if he put all that knowledge in that time capsule? Where was I? The ancient tribes of North Africa preserved traditions of a western continent, and there are records of tribes called the Adirondacks. Atlas, that was it. Atlas is just power holding up the heavens. What if the mountain of God looked like it held up the firmament? Because it pierced it. Anybody seen it? Pre-flood earth? Isn't it interesting? The Atlas Mountains are there on that west coast of Africa. Crossing the Atlantic, we note that in the Canary Islands, in theory themselves the mountaintops of Atlantis, to some theorists, are a series of ancient caverns called Attalaya, whose inhabitants, even in Roman times, were reported to retain memories of the sinking of Atlantis. In North and South America, we find a series of extraordinary coincidences. The majority of Indian tribes have legends telling that they came from the east. You know, that European, African, Middle Eastern countries look to the west. Now, these ancient civilizations in America say they came from the east, or obtained the arts of civilization from supermen who came from an eastern continent. The Aztec people preserved the name of the land of their origin, Aztlan. In fact, the name Aztec is itself derived from Aztlan. In the Aztec language, Atl means water. And this same word has the same meaning in the Berber languages of North Africa. Quetzalcoatl, the god of the Aztecs and other Mexican peoples, was said to be white, a bearded white man who came to the Valley of Mexico from the ocean, and after his civilizing mission, returned. The Mayan sacred book referred to the eastern country where they once lived as a true paradise. Quote, where the whites and blacks lived in peace until the god Huracan, basis for our word hurricane, became angry and flooded the earth. When the Spanish conquerors first explored Venezuela, they found a settlement called Atlan, peopled by white Indians, or so they appeared to the Spaniards, who said their ancestors had been among the survivors of a drowned land. Among all these linguistic coincidences, perhaps the most striking is our own, the very name of the ocean, the Atlantic. Of course, the name Atlantic comes from Atlas, the giant of Greek legend, or perhaps the legends from which Greek gets its legends, who supported the sky. What if there was a mountain of God on Atlantis that seemed to support the firmament, piercing through it? What makes you think God couldn't create a revolving hothouse or whatever we call a... I mean, if man can create something with an even temperature, what makes you think God can't? It's not the story of Atlantis itself, an allegory of power. In Greek, Atlantis means daughter of Atlantis. Well, I can go on. I'm going to read you, but don't run out of time. Plato's dialogues, Timaeus and Critias, where the story of Atlantis is told. Another interesting little book here, Lost Outpost of Atlantis. I like to read. in the dusty, cramped shed on the side porch of the Church of Maria, Auxa Leodora in Cuenca, Ecuador, lies the most valuable archaeological treasure on earth. Ecuador. More than $1 million worth of dazzling gold is cached here, and much silver. Yet the hard money value of this forgotten hoard is not its principal worth. There are ancient artifacts from out of the Ecuadorian jungles, identified as Assyrian, Egyptian, Chinese, and African. So perfect in workmanship and beauty that any museum director would regard them as first-class acquisitions. This treasure is the strangest collection of ancient archaeological objects in existence. Yet it is generally unknown to historians and deliberately neglected in the journals of Orthodox archaeology. You know how many years the established writers fought Schliemann's discovery of Troy? Because it blew their reputation. Archaeologists can't buy the possibility of a common source radiating both east and west for what is called Assyrian, Egyptian. I love that man, my companion side. The people around here think he's a saint. Since I was hard on the Jesuits, I'll give the other side. We were on our way to a storehouse of marvels I'd heard about, never seen for myself. The man was Carlo Crespi, a jungle missionary, a priest of the church, an explorer, and the discoverer of extraordinary archaeological treasure. When we arrived at the church, Father Crespi's bent, aged figure strode out to meet us with an energy that belied his 86 years. "So you're the archaeologist, eh?" he asked, a slight smile twinkling his pale blue eyes. Cecilia translated the wry greeting, and I responded, "Not an archaeologist, an explorer and photographer, a man with great respect for your collection." "Here, let's take a look," the priest said, enough flattery. Without ceremony, he forced a key into an ancient rusty padlock and opened the rickety door to his museum. He touched two bare wires together and a watery yellow light went on. Father Crespi was smiling like a man with a very remarkable secret. I was skeptical of the reports I'd heard about this place, but now the cautious attitude gave way to unabashed astonishment. Stacked against the four wall, I got picture after picture. A treasure either transported and seeded by somebody wanting to produce the amazing discovery in the jungles of Ecuador, artifacts absolutely identical, Egyptian, Assyrian, Mesopotamian, African. Now there's a wealth of evidence on both sides of the Atlantic of a common source in the cultural history of man of some mountain of God. Plato described it one terrible day, a bursting forth from the ground, the fountains of the deep, a bursting forth from heaven on an earth that had never known rain, until the skies would be so obliterated that the birds in the sky would be slain. Plato describes a great sea of mud and a whole continent outside the gates of Hercules disappearing into that great gulf of the Atlantic. I stood in amazement at Smithsonian Institute a few months ago and read some of the happenings of sections of the cable as they laid the Atlantic cable at one place. Man doesn't yet know what lays in that deep cavity of the Atlantic. What if there was an Atlantis? What if it did sink? What if the eels in the Sargasso Sea used to make a short trip to Atlantis? Poor, dumb eels that survived the flood now got to go with that current all the way to Northwest Europe. Well, it used to be a short trip before they mated. There's no explanation from the Sargasso Sea, seaweed sea, where those eels mate. It's a short trip, those that go out of the seaweed sea to the coasts of the west. But they got to go with the Gulf Stream all the way to Northwest Europe. Female eels go upstream 2 years. Males wait offshore, come back down after being apart for 2 years. They make a marriage procession underneath the Gulf Stream. They got to go down deep and swim. Now, why would eels with instincts built in that must go to fresh water separate for certain, to use a human-type word, metabolistic things to happen, enabling them to mate and reproduce? Same eels make a short trip on the west side all the way across the Atlantic, forcing them diving down under the Gulf Stream to swim all the way back to mate in the Sargasso Sea. The habit patterns that seem unfair to the East Coast eels, East Sargasso Sea side, got a long trip, whereas the others got a short trip. But as Plato describes Atlantis, there was not a big Atlantic Ocean, but outside the gates of Pillars of Hercules, a vast continent island that sunk beneath the sea, that before it sunk was a paradise, the center of culture. And beyond it, the word of Plato is, beyond it, I'll give you a word. I can find it here in a hurry. Hang on a minute. I think I can find it. I don't have to quote the exact word if I can't find it. I should have marked this up. Opposite con- I happen to find it. In his description of Atlantis, Plato mentioned the island was larger than Libya and Asia. I read that earlier. Put together. And from the island, that is Atlantis, outside Gibraltar, the gates of or Pillars of Hercules, from the island you might pass through to the opposite continent, which surrounded the true ocean. So the true ocean was not the Atlantic. But the true ocean was on the west coast, further of the opposite continent. So instead of Europe, Pillars of Hercules, Atlantic Ocean, North and South America, Pacific Ocean, there was Pillars of Hercules, Atlantis, through which you could cross and go to the opposite continent, which surrounded the true ocean, the Pacific Ocean. Well, the opposite continent was found when Columbus set sail. But where's Atlantis in between? Plato says it sunk. What if that was the place of the mountain of God pre-flood? What if that was the place of the Garden of Eden, so that it doesn't need to be guarded anymore? Sharks take care of that.
This is the end of Side 3. For the rest of the teaching, please turn the tape over to Side 4. Thank you.